Okay.
I'm sorry. I was trying to hold that in.
What a great start. Yeah, we're using that as the intro now.
Yeah, I know. I'm going to have to reduce the noise because that looks like hell. Welcome to another episode of the Round Rainbow Podcast. Today we're going to be talking about TNT. Because you and I, we are very big aficionados of the D&D realm.
If only we could complete a fucking campaign.
You know what? Don't get started on that, because we've really tried.
Have you played as many D&D games? Have
the answer is no.
I know. Well, okay. Let me rephrase that question. Are all the D&D games you played just with me?
Pretty much.
Okay, because I've played a few before that also. That's about it. I was mostly a player, and now I started diving into more DMing because I just like world building and it's more fun. Yeah. And I get to control so many characters.
I've wanted to get into a world building. I actually am still working on one.
Well, good.
I can't do it in 3 days like you did. You have some fucking psycho.
Listen. It's one day.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That day that we were voice chatting, I made everything.
I know, that's insane. Hang on, we'll get to that in a second.
Okay.
But right now, for anyone who doesn't know what D&D is, it's basically just a tabletop role-playing game. Mm-hmm. And I have a little bit of history written down on my phone.
Cool.
On my notes.
I would love to learn more about D&D history. Like, I know some, and I only know that the guy that made D&D sounds like he's from D&D. That's all I know.
We're going to have to look up after this episode.
Do you not have his name written down?
Yeah, I have it written down. Cool, I need to find it on YouTube to see what he sounds like.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so Dungeons & Dragons is a fantasy tabletop role-playing game originally designed by Gary Gygax and Dave Arneson in 1974. I know, right? I saw his name and I was like, Gary Gygax? Fucking...
Of course he made D&D. What else is he going to do?
The god of D&D is called Gary Gygax. Who fucking... That is a cool last name.
Yes, it is.
It was made by those two in 1974. First published by Tactical Studies Rule, Inc. Mm-hmm. But now, as we know, it has been published by Wizards of the West Coast.
Isn't it just Wizards of the Coast?
Wizards of the West Coast. Whatever. It's same shit, different names. Okay. It's a subsidiary of Hasbro. So it's a branch of Hasbro. Yeah, I was shocked when I looked at that. I was just like, wow, they're part of Hasbro? That's pretty intense. Hasbro's really well known for making board games.
Yeah. Everything that has to do with fun and toys and games.
Yeah, they're on it. We also have Chainmail to thank for how we play D&D today. And Chainmail. Chainmail was like, it is the... yes, the former predecessor of... I don't know how to explain it. It's like an older version of what D&D would be later on.
I guess the idea of chainmail has changed since then?
Very much so. Okay. But a lot of the things that we know about D&D, like the core details of D&D,
yeah,
like armor class and levels and like various spells that we use in D&D, monsters too. So we have chainmail to kind of thank for like... laying the template down for what we know as D&D.
Okay.
And then D&D kind of built its own world off of that.
Do you know how so?
How so?
Yeah.
It just kind of laid down how D&D is played.
But like how? Do you know?
The initiatives, how you roll, what you roll for.
I'm still just having a hard concept of like chainmail, as in like the thing of... I'm a Nigerian prince, and you should donate money to my cause, or if you don't send this mail, you're gonna be cursed by a 7-year-old little girl who died. She's gonna appear in your bedroom. Like, that's what I think of chainmail.
Dear Lord, I hated those. Even now, even as a kid, I was just like, how annoying. Who are these adults sending this shit? But like, yeah, chainmail kind of established
how
you play D&D.
That's weird.
And then D&D just kind of built its own world.
I would love to see, like, an actual
picture?
Yeah.
We'll look it up later.
Okay, yeah.
But I wanted to share with you some of the... Okay, listen, guys. We've been trying to make this episode for so long, but we just keep accidentally passing it by.
I've come over here, God, how many times this year?
Four?
This year. Because you've mentioned it several times, not just to do the episode.
Yeah, I'm just counting the times that you have come over to do an episode, and then we do something else.
About four or five.
Yeah.
And we end up doing, like, 80 other things other than the episode.
That's kind of how we work, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now we're sitting down, and now we're doing it.
Give me a fake chudo.
Okay. I was having taco.
What are they called again?
I don't know, cinema twists.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. God, I'm surprised I even remembered. I want to share with you something, because we are a part of the geek culture.
Yeah.
We love D&D, we love board games, we love magic, we love video games, all that kind of shit.
Yeah.
Surprisingly, the article that's in front of me, thanks to... Dungeon Master Dave at dmdave.com.
Mm-hmm.
It has a picture of Critical Role and Matt Mercer as the DM. And for those of you who don't know, Matt Mercer is the voice of a McCree on Overwatch.
He does a lot. He does a lot of different voices. I just never remember any of them but McCree.
Yeah, he's well known for McCree.
I've known him before, and now I forgot.
Yeah.
I have not seen... I've seen, like, the first half of... The first episode, half of it, of Critical Role. I can't get into watching D&D podcasts, because I'm just like, I want to pay attention to everything, and then I get bored and I start doing other things.
I have to show you Harmon Quest.
Oh god. You keep telling me about that, too.
Harmon Quest is dope as fuck!
It's hard for me to listen to certain podcasts also, just because, like, I want to pay attention to everything, and then if I end up doing something else, I'll not listen. But if I'm just watching a bunch of people talk, I get bored. So it's such a pain in the ass.
Sometimes put podcasts on my in my car while I'm driving.
So that I should start.
You start doing that, yeah.
Yeah.
But I wanted to share with you 10 celebrities that you didn't realize were huge D&D nerds.
Okay.
You're not... Some of them you may be surprised about. You won't.
Okay, that's fair.
Some you'll be like, of course you would fucking play.
Okay.
Number one is Joe Manganiello. I never know how to pronounce his name, and that's what he looks like.
Manganiello? Okay.
For those of you who...
I don't know who that is.
For those of you who don't know who he is the husband of Sofia Vergara.
I don't know who that is. Either.
I know.
Listen, I don't know much about pop culture whatsoever.
That's why I'm like...
I have such a small bubble.
I know. That's why I'm like, you're not gonna... Some of these you won't know. Some of these you will know.
Okay.
So, yeah, they did, like, a short little interview on him.
Okay.
And let me tell you something.
Yeah.
His basement is a dungeon master's dream.
Oh,
it's a huge fucking table.
I might have seen that.
Yeah. Whew. I would love to play a round of D&D with Joey Manganiello. Because he just sounds like a cool-ass dude.
Yeah. I wish I want to eventually build up to it. I mean, but I really wish, as of right now, I had all the really cool bells and whistles, a giant table, the big grid, all the little figurines. I'll get there eventually, but
I was gonna say you can make clay versions of your monsters.
I've thought about that too. Really, yeah, cool. Especially because I make all sorts of different homebrewed monsters.
Yeah. Oh, Daryl. I missed him. Okay, so we're going to take a quick break. I think this may be one of our longer episodes because we really do like talking about D&D.
Yeah.
So we're going to take a quick break and we will be right back. Okay, and welcome back. Now we're going to move on to our second D&D celebrity. Number two, Stephen Colbert.
Of course, yeah. Listen.
For those of you who don't know who Stephen Colbert is, he hosts his own talk show. It's a very political talk show.
Mm-hmm.
It's based around politics and stuff. Yeah. He's a political comedian is what is the realm of what he does.
He fucking loves Lord of the Rings to death.
I would not be surprised.
He was in one of the Hobbit films.
Was he?
Yeah, he was. He was an extra. He met J.R.R. Tolkien? Not J.R.R. Tolkien. God, I'm fucking stupid. Peter Jackson! Why did I say J.R.R. Tolkien? He met Peter Jackson, and Peter Jackson was just like, yeah, he's a fucking nerd. Not an exact quote, but, you know. So Peter Jackson went ahead and made him an extra in one of the Hobbit films.
Might as well be an exact quote.
Yeah.
Number three is Vin Diesel.
Okay, I can see that.
Okay. You know who Vin Diesel is?
Surprisingly, yes.
Wow. Yeah, I'm shocked. Vin Diesel was in most of the Fast and Furious movies. He was also in The Pacifier, which is one of my favorite movies.
I don't know how I know him, though. Like, what? Because I don't fucking care about Fast and Furious.
It's the same thing with me and Gary Busey. I don't know how the fuck I know Gary Busey. I just know. You just know Gary Busey.
I know,
Busey.
Yeah.
He's just one of the people that you know.
He exists.
Yeah. The number four is Deborah Ann Woll. She was in True Blood.
Hmm. Oh, I don't care about her, but okay. Ugh. What else has she been in? Do you know?
I don't fucking know.
Okay. Okay. Whatever.
I think that's the only thing I know her from is True Blood.
Okay.
Number five is Matt Damon and Ben Affleck. We talked about these two.
Why is number five the pair of them?
Because Ben Affleck and Matt Damon are fucking connected at the goddamn hip. Because I was showing you Dogma, and they're the angels. Number six is Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Okay.
Which is someone that everyone should know.
Yeah.
Because he was in WWE, and then he kind of progressively got into, like, movies.
Yeah. Know,
he's a big movie star. Most of the films. Some of the films that he's been in currently is Jumanji and Rampage.
The new Jumanji, yeah.
Yeah, which...
And Guardians of the Galaxy. He's the voice of Groot.
No, that's Vin Diesel.
That's Vin Diesel?
That's Vin Diesel.
God damn.
Yeah.
Well, now I'm just stupid. You see, I don't know pop culture. I'm so fucking dumb.
Interesting fact about Guardians of the Galaxy. Yeah. You know that they give Vin Diesel a special script.
I feel like the confusion with me and Vin Diesel and Dwayne The Rock Johnson is the same thing that people do with Daniel Radcliffe and Elijah Wood. that's how I feel.
I just don't know how you get those two confused.
I get lots of people confused. I see names, I see faces, and I can't connect them. And like, you can tell me a movie, and I won't be able to tell you either the name or the face.
Oh.
I have no fucking idea.
But you'll remember one weird part.
Yes, yeah. A very specific weird part. That no one else is like, I don't know what you're talking about.
But they gave Vin Diesel a special copy of the script.
Uh-huh.
That tells Vin Diesel what Groot is saying.
So that's cute.
And only Vin Diesel and the director know exactly what it says. No one else knows. Everyone else had to just kind of be like, they had to react to Vin Diesel.
That's really nice. So he can get the what is it called? Inflection?
Yeah.
Is that the right word?
Yes. Okay. So he could, you know, say it as Groot.
I've already humiliated myself twice in this podcast. Let's keep going.
Well, it's okay if you don't know.
No, it's fine.
Number seven is not surprising to me at all because yesterday we were talking about him. Elon Musk.
Really?
Elon Musk is a huge goddamn nerd.
I
totally can see it.
Okay.
This one may be actually quite surprising.
Turn on the brightness. Turn on the brightness.
He was being very, very nice.
Yes, he was. Everyone else made it funny.
Everyone else acted like he fucking slapped Beyonce or something.
I know.
And Angel was just like, just turn up the brightness. Like, it's a dimmer. Just turn up the brightness. And everyone was like, oh, shit.
I know.
You'll be surprised by this one.
Okay.
Number eight is Judi Dench.
I don't know who that is.
Judi Dench. Dame Judi Dench.
Oh, she looks familiar. What has she been in?
A lot of movies that I don't think you have seen.
Okay.
Yeah. Number nine. Yeah, I was surprised when I saw Judi Dench. I was like, really?
Give me a couple just in case. I don't know.
What? Wait, what do you mean?
Movies or what she's been in.
Philomena.
Know. Okay.
There's a lot of other movies that I can't remember right now. Okay. Philomena was one of the latest ones that I've seen her in. Yeah,
well,
look it up.
Well, while you're doing that, I'm going to go ahead and look her up. Because she looks familiar. I feel like I've seen her.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt is number nine.
Where have I heard that before? Is he,
what?
Is he in Gotham?
I believe so. I believe he is.
I'm so stupid with faces.
Oh, no, it's okay. I'm stupid with what he's been in. I think the only thing I know that he's been in is
he Jim Gordon? Inception. He looks like Jim Gordon in the Gotham show.
Look it up.
What is his name?
Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Oh, I might just be connecting Gordon with Gordon. I don't know. I don't know.
And finally on our list is number 10, Steven Spielberg, which I'm not surprised
at all. No, he isn't. He looks totally different. That picture that you have on yours doesn't look like this picture that I have.
I mean, for me it does.
I don't. Sometimes I forget I'm face blind. Let me see. I don't know.
Oh, 500 Days of Summer. That was a really good movie.
Oh, I have no fucking idea what I'm talking about. Inception,
Looper, Dark Knight Rises. He was Snowden in the Snowden movie.
I've never seen that.
Yeah. Those are a few movies that he... Oh my god, 500 Days of Summer. Really, really fucking good.
Sometimes I forget that I'm face blind until something really obvious like this comes up. Like, is that really famous person? No, it's a different famous person. That look nothing alike.
Are the Chris's a nightmare for you?
Listen. Yes.
Chris Pratt, Chris Hemsworth.
Like,
Chris Pine. And then what's he? Chris Evans.
I know which Chris is what character. So, like.
But them out of the movies, you're lost. Four Chris's. They have 3 out of 4.
And the names don't get me as bad as just everyone looks vaguely similar to me. One time one of my professors had to leave the room and she took off her jacket. I didn't recognize her.
Really?
And I have no fucking idea.
Okay.
I know. I have such a hard time. I have to go by what people sound like, what their posture is. I have to do all kinds of other shit.
Wow.
I know, it's a pain in the ass.
Number 10, finally, is Steven Spielberg.
Really?
I'm not surprised that Steven Spielberg is a D&D person.
I'm not surprised either. That's just really interesting.
That's
neat.
When I read it, I was just kind of like, it makes sense because he's been working since the 70s, right?
Sure.
He's been doing this book shit for a long-ass time. And I wouldn't be surprised that if he was there for the birth of D&D.
Yeah.
Or at least he got a few years later. Mm-hmm. You know what really surprised me about it?
What?
1974. That's when D&D was officially, released.
Yeah.
Stranger Things was around that time.
Yeah,
so
it
the,
is.
So the kids in Stranger Things were playing D&D.
The original D&D.
Yeah, version 1.
Oh, yeah.
That's shocking.
I don't think I've ever seen anything before 3. I've seen D&D 3. Does D&D have a 3.5? Because I know I've played Pathfinder
3.5. I think so, yes.
And, D&D 4. No one likes to talk about 4.
No.
I think everyone hated 4. And I feel like, because D&D 4th edition came out pretty recently, and then 5th edition came out. I feel like it was just a bridge for 3rd and 5th.
It was a rickety bridge at that.
I've never seen or played D&D 4, 4th edition.
Yeah, that's because D&D 4 it's cursed. I feel like no one talks about it. No one ever... I bet if you go on eBay, it's either going to be like $400 or like 5 cents.
I don't know. I wouldn't bother. Oh, man. I know... I've never played it. I never heard of anyone who's played it. I just know that it exists. And no one wanted to play it. I've never even looked at the books. I don't know what's going on with that.
We're
going
to have to find... something.
I'm sure I can find a PDF. I mean, I have most of the... I have D&D 3, Pathfinder 3.5, a few of them, and most of the D&D 5e. I now have the D&D 5e hard copies because, oh my god, I love them.
Oh, I know. You have the mm-hmm. actual physical books.
Yes, I do. I still need, what is it? Xanathar? Mm-hmm. I still need that book. I don't think I want the other. I basically have the core books, mm-hmm. and I want the Xanathar
book. So, now we've discussed D&D and D&D celebrities and a mm-hmm. little bit of history. Now let's go into a bit of the variations of the D&D, like Pathfinder, or like
I only know a few. I don't know if they're technically considered like a subsection of like if Wizards of the Coast owns them like they do with Dungeons and Dragons, like
Pathfinder and stuff.
I have no idea, because I know those are like variations that are technically tabletops, but I don't know if they're D&D or if they're their own separate thing. I just know they exist.
D&D has inspired a lot of variations of tabletop role-playing. Is that specific genre?
Kyle and I, when Kyle was DMing a few really short one-shots, we played some superhero versions and things like that.
I wanted to do a horror version with the Jenga mm-hmm. tower.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Dread.
Mm-hmm. I want to play that, too.
I know. Listen, I'm working on
it's
it.
It's great.
And what was it called? Fiasco.
Yeah.
Fiasco was another one. You mm-hmm. use dice, six-sided dice, to create a story.
I want to play all of those, yes.
I know. I'm working on them. Trust me, I'm working on them.
Work faster.
It's just hard because you're just like, you're stepping into new... With D&D, it would be pretty easy to do. Mm-hmm. A lot easier than Fiasco or Dread. Because mm-hmm. you do have the template. You do know how to build the world. Mm-hmm. You build the landscape. Mm-hmm. You build where each plot point is going to be. Mm-hmm. You build the monsters. Mm-hmm. You build the bosses to level up.
And what I really love doing... I know it sounds super boring. But I love doing like the socioeconomic states of all of these locations.
Yeah, well, I mean, sure, you gotta put
the mini cultures,
yeah,
and sub-languages and shit like that.
That is,
dialects.
That is really cool.
It's so fun.
I like I like landscapes. I like mm-hmm. building the landscapes more than anything.
I have a vague idea of what my landscapes are gonna be, but mm-hmm. like, I'm so bad at reading maps, I can't make a fucking map. I cannot believe that the map that I did make for the current session, I can't believe how well that came out. I can't do that again.
Well, you can save it and, you know, build off of that little template.
Yeah, maybe.
But, like, with Dread and Fiasco, mm-hmm. you basically have to set up the plot points, and mm-hmm. you have to build different plot points for different categories. And it's just...
That sounds like something I would...
Like, God, is it fucking hard.
I would love to do something like that, too.
Oh, we're in the 22-minute mark right now. I think we might close this episode off now.
I guess, okay.
But do you have any closing remarks about D&D and what it means to you or anything?
It's really fun to explore different iterations of characters. And a lot of people think that DMing isn't actually playing.
Yeah.
And, like, as much as I love playing, I love DMing. I'm playing multiple different characters at once. And I built the... build the damn world. Even if I'm taking a template, I'm still building off of that template. I'm playing just as much as everyone else. And I hate it when players try to go out of their way to be dickbags.
I was about to say that too. I was about to say when, like, players try to derail a campaign.
Mm-hmm. Like I can plan for as much as possible, and sure, some things are going to go awry. That's mm-hmm. fine. It's improv, too.
Yeah.
That's totally fine. But, like, some players will go out of their fucking way to derail. And I know that there's this joke about, like, bards wanting to fuck out every creature imaginable and how bards are super, super great. Man, stop. There's so much effort that goes into world building. Derailing it is just... plain ass rude. Stop.
You kind of just have to play along.
Play your character, of course. Yeah. But don't destroy all of the efforts of your DM. Mm. It sucks.
We've had a few campaigns like that.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. And I just think that, you know, as being a player, you learn a lot of stuff. You learn improv, like you said.
Mm-hmm.
You learn how to progress a story.
Yeah.
One.
Yeah.
And these are important tools when you finally decide to become an actual DM.
Mm-hmm.
Like me, I'm trying to become a DM. And it's just, I just think D&D is really cool because it's just improv and just world building, and you get to fight monsters, and you don't really need anything. You just need your imagination. And,
like, there's also different types of DMing. Like some of the games I've played, not DM'd, they're very, very grindy. I don't really like that type of game. Other people do, and that's fine. A lot of people love to grind monsters, get treasure, get levels. I personally like to level at, like, checkpoints. I don't care too much about experience.
I was gonna say. What? And also, you don't really like wizards or magic users in
your campaigns. Wizards as long as they're not purposely trying to break the fucking game.
Like Pablo.
God. Pablo knows how to meta the fuck out of a stupid game.
Which is, it's fun at first, and then it gets old real quick.
Yes, it does.
I also would like to say the culture of geek culture has become pretty mainstream now.
Yeah.
But it's more of a trend than anything.
I can see that, yeah.
And it's kind of, it's nice to see that, you know, D&D and the geek culture is finally coming to light.
Yeah.
But it's only in a way to show that you are quirky. And for us, it's kind of, this is what we love to do.
Yeah.
So for someone to just be like, yeah, I play D&D, like, that's cool.
Yeah.
No one really cares that much. Yeah, it's just
it's not like it's not some pocket protector nerd kind of thing anymore.
Yeah, it's become more.
It's bigger. It's never really been that kind of thing to begin with. That's just some weird stereotype from fucking forever ago.
It's just a stereotype that, and people try to base themselves off of that in a very quirky way, which is like, it's annoying.
Yeah. I can see that, because, yeah, some people try, some people try too hard to be, like, the weirdo outcast, and it's just like, calm down, it's okay to play D&D, and, like, nerd shit and gamer shit, no one cares anymore.
Yeah, I just find it really funny.
Yeah.
But I think with that, we're going to end this episode. This is the longest episode I've done in a while.
Oh, fun.
Yeah.
Let's do another.
Right? Oh, this is going to be fun.
We should make an episode of stories, maybe?
Stories?
Yeah, D&D stories.
Yes. I was going to do that.
That's a maybe. I'm not saying that I'm not guaranteeing that.
Yeah, it's a hard maybe. Mm-hmm. I was going to ask you about that, but then we just got carried away.
Yeah. Well, we might do it some other time. We'll see.
Maybe we'll do, like, a bonus episode.
Okay.
Of just pure stories.
Okay.
But thank you for listening, guys. And remember, if you listen to my podcast, you can always find me on Spotify, Google Podcasts, and Apple Podcasts, and anywhere that my podcast will be broadcasted as well with other podcasts. Mm-hmm. So with that, I will catch you guys later.
Bye!
Yeah, we'll see you later.